The following is an audio podcast from the Korea Society, celebrating more than a half century of promoting awareness, understanding, and cooperation between the people of the United States and Korea. For more information on our programs, please visit our website at www.koreasociety.org. This podcast is brought to you through the generous financial support of the Tongyang Group. In the areas of financial services and manufacturing, the companies of the Tongyang Group harness the passion and creativity of 12,000 employees worldwide to better serve their clients. The Tongyang Group, a global partner for Korean business.
This is Mark Minton, the president of the Korea Society. Yesterday, on Monday, February 25th, the chairman of the Korea Society, Ambassador Thomas Hubbard, and I were privileged to be guests of the new Korean administration at the inaugural of Madam Park Geun-hye as 18th president of the Republic of Korea. I think many people know that Madam Park, President Park now, is the daughter of longtime president of Korea, Park Chung-hee, military dictator of Korea in the 60s and the 70s. And she has a rather unusual background in that she grew up as a young woman, a teenager, in the Blue House, to which she's returning. And when her mother was assassinated by North Korean agents, she actually took over the duties as First Lady for her father. That's a rather unusual resume for a president. She, of course, is Korea's first elected woman president. And I think it's fair to say that despite this rather unusual background associated with her father's regime, she has come into her own as a national leader through her election and her inaugural yesterday. The inaugural ceremony, which lasted for about 2 hours, was held on the plaza in front of the National Assembly building, attended by tens of thousands of people and, of course, televised throughout Korea and beyond. In an opening speech or an acceptance speech following her oath of office, President Park spoke on the topic of opening a new era of hope. On the surface, the speech might seem a typical inaugural speech, but I think there were several significant points that might be points of departure for Korea embedded in the speech. First of all, she gave pride of place at the beginning of the speech to her desire to move Korea into a higher phase of economic development, mostly through the application of the latest developments in science and technology, such as nanotechnology and all sorts of digital technology, IT technology, and to build a second miracle on the Han, as she called it, of economic success for Korea on the basis of the shrewd use of this technology. And I think that's a rather significant policy objective that she stated. This is backed up by the fact that she has appointed a new minister in the cabinet, a new position, specifically to promote within Korean economy new technologies for economic development. That was the first point that struck me. The second point is there was a lot of mention in her speech about a new era of happiness for the Korean people. I think hard-edged policy types used to dealing with security or economic affairs might at first think that this is just rhetoric for an inaugural address, but I think it was heartfelt, and I think it does speak to the yearning of the Korean people now that the country has become a developed country for a somewhat more secure life. There was a great mention in the presidential campaign of growing inequalities of income and social position in Korea because of the way the Korea economy is developing. So much is based upon a few very large conglomerates. This is what Korea is known for in international trade, the products of these very large combines. And there was a lot of emphasis on having to develop small and medium industry and also to create, I think we would call it a social safety net. There was nothing explicit about that in terms of what she would do, but there was a clear promise that she would take policies that would lead to the greater happiness of people. And I think she was speaking to a real perceived desire on the part of the Korean people to revise their society in a way that perhaps does not pursue in headlong fashion, as has been the case for the last 30 years, economic development. There's obviously a greater concern now for equality in the society, access to educational opportunity, preservation of the environment, and she spoke to all of that. I think the part of the speech that concerned security matters was significant also. It was the last really major issue that she mentioned, and as she did in the campaign, she indicated that, if I may quote from her inaugural speech, that she intended to lay the groundwork for an era of harmonious unification where all Koreans can lead a more prosperous and freer lives and where their dreams can come true. Now, that sounds like pretty highfalutin rhetoric. But then the next phrase was that she will move forward step by step to pursue that goal on the basis of a credible deterrence to build a trust between the North and the South, and that she pointed out that North Korea must give up its nuclear ambitions. I think this indicates, although she is very open to a new effort at diplomacy with North Korea, that won't be on the basis of meeting North Korean demands, or it won't be on the basis of a tepid reaction to any North Korean threats should North Korea pursue relations with the South during her tenure in that manner. So it was very muted, but a clear marker was laid down that that she means to preserve the security of the Republic of Korea from any threat. I think this is also backed up by certain practical steps she has taken in her administration. There's a really prominent visibility for people of military background, and she has appointed a sort of a security advisory group of retired military senior officers. So I think she takes security very seriously. Yesterday evening, Monday evening, the February 25th, there was a banquet at Blue House, the presidential house, attended by mostly the foreign visitors. Just a few comments about that. She was very gracious, made further remarks along the lines that she had made at her swearing-in ceremony at the National Assembly. The American delegation to the inaugural was led by National Security Advisor Tom Donilon from the White House, with also U.S. Ambassador to Korea Sung Kim and General Thurman, who is the combined forces commander here in Korea, on the delegation. Danny Russell from the National Security Council staff was also on the Washington delegation. There were other Americans present, business people, academic people. One of the things that was most noticeable about foreign delegations to the inaugural was the very heavy presence, high-level presence of the Japanese delegation. Now, this is especially remarkable because there were two former prime ministers present, and former Prime Minister Fukuda, former Prime Minister Mori, and a very high-level group of National Diet politicians. So I thought that was a clear signal that that Japan is eager to improve ties with the Republic of Korea at the beginning of Madam Park's presidency. All in all, it was a very impressive day. She was very impressive. There was even film clips of her life, and there was even a film clip of her singing a song. She had a nice informal, warm manner, which is a little bit in contrast to the official Korean style for presidents. So I think she made a very good impression. I think it was also in policy terms and in terms of diplomatic symbolism, the representation of other countries and whatnot, a very successful event. So those are just some first impressions from fly on the wall at the Korean inauguration on February 25th in Seoul.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Korea Society, its staff, management, or sponsors. Thank you for listening to this Korea Society podcast. If you enjoyed it, please consider becoming a member. Visit www.koreasociety.org for information about memberships and to learn more about all the programs available at the Korea Society.